I find that I'm passionately
leaving. Well, hello everyone. Today I'm going to tackle a question that comes up quite a lot, which is the Labour government trying to enact Sharia law? Is it trying to bring in Islamic blasphemy laws under some sort of disguise? This comes up again and again and again. It is repeated by senior Tories like Kemi Badenoch and Robert Jendrick, and by slop merchants up and down your timeline, by Jeff Taylor and so many other people, Tommy Robinson, etc., etc., by the counter-jihad, essentially. And I have never had much time for these narratives because they are slop. And in this video, I'm going to explain exactly why. These narratives are designed just to get you to panic, right? They're designed to get you to feel an emotional response and never actually to look into them. Well, I had cause to look into this recently after somebody started, you know, having a go on Twitter about this very topic, and he was claiming that Keir Starmer is bringing in Islamic blasphemy law. So naturally I looked into what has Keir Starmer done, and it turns out he is doing exactly the opposite of that. So in this video I'm going to talk you through a little bit of hidden history that nobody ever talks about, which is the history of organized Islam in Britain from 1997 to now. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Muslim Council. I'm going to talk about various different Muslim groups in the country, what they stand for, how they came about, and more pivotally, when people like this guy on Twitter, this counter-jihad activist on Twitter, say things like, oh, they're bringing in blasphemy laws, what are they actually talking about? And is that the case? Okay, so I'm going to get to all of this. It's quite it'll be new information to almost all of you, I suspect. First of all, though, pick up a course at the academic agency if you want to know how to research topics. Okay, Foundations of Research is a good one. Pick up the Trivium, which also goes into many other things, like, you know, how to construct an argument, how to go about finding the information to make an argument, you know, in rhetoric, how to structure it, how to put it forward in a way that is convincing to people, and in Foundations of Writing, how to actually write it, all of those things for a tiny price. So buy it now, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about Muslims in Britain. We're going to do this.
Academic Agency.
All right, so let's get going. Apologies for the very small size of my whiteboard, by the way. I was using paper, and people were like, come on, get a whiteboard. Now I've got a whiteboard, people are saying, your whiteboard's too small. Well, tough. This is my whiteboard. And we're going to go all the way back to the war in Bosnia in 1995, under John Major. John Majors, remember him? The grey guy eating the peas, okay? And basically, if you remember what was happening in the Bosnian War, Muslims were involved in Bosnia, and they were being killed at a rate of knots, and the Muslim community in Britain were agitated by this, and they felt that Western governments were not doing enough as part of their commitment to NATO, blah, blah, blah. So they actually wanted the British government under John Major to do more for Bosnia. And so the situation had come where there was no way of the Muslim community to have a single unified voice to interface with the British government. So they set up this thing called the Muslim Council of Britain, which represents something like 500 mosques and various, you know, it's basically all of the Muslim organizations in Britain, to the extent that there are Muslim organizations, have an umbrella over them called the Muslim Council of Britain. And this was set up to interface with the government so that they could have a way of talking to power about issues like the war in Bosnia. Now, it took time to actually set up, and they didn't manage to get it up and running until Tony Blair was the Prime Minister in 1997. I think it was 5 or 6 months in, Blair became the Prime Minister. Okay, Blair was popular with Muslims in 97 because he was progressive. He promised to do all sorts of things. He was seen as, you know, someone who, you know, was a good voice on Bosnia, as an example. So in 1999, when they had the offensive in Kosovo and Slobodan Milosevic and all of that, if you remember, in that conflict, one of the groups that Milosevic was targeting was Albanian Muslims. So yet again, the Muslim community supported the British government's actions against Kosovo. Okay, so they were all too happy to support Tony Blair, okay, in 1999. And now they had a way to interface with this thing called the Muslim Council. So this was kind of the apex of relations between the Labour Party and the Muslim community, because they had this Muslim Council and, you know, they had a way in to talk to Number 10 and to say, look, we like what you're doing in Kosovo, we'll support that, we like what you're doing with minimum wage, whatever it happened to be, okay? But then relations with Old Tone started to sour. First of all, in 2001 with the war in Afghanistan, and then especially in 2003 with the war in Iraq. Clearly, the Muslim Council of Britain was not supportive of those wars. In fact, they were against both of those wars pretty vocally and part of the anti-war coalition that marched in London, 1 to 2 million people. Okay, so relations with Blair started to sour between the Blair government and the Muslim community. He got about 70 or 80% of the votes in 1997. By polling in 2004, 2005, showed that there was about a 30% swing away from Labour. So then the Tory party, then under Michael Howard, if you recall, thought, well, we might be able to capitalise on that and bring Muslim voters over to what they saw as their natural home. Because Muslims are conservative, generally, socially conservative, they thought, well, we can make a play to get Muslims voting Tory as opposed to voting Labour, especially as they didn't like Blair now because of the Iraq War. So in 2005, Michael Howard set up this thing called the Conservative Muslim Forum, or the CMF, okay? So the Muslim Council of Britain is the MCB. The Conservative Muslim Forum is the CMF. And this was, initially speaking, it was an opportunistic grab for Muslim votes by Michael Howard. That's how it came about initially. But relations between the Muslim Council and Labour became increasingly strained as the war went on. And it all came to a head. After Blair went, there was Gordon Brown, who came in 2007. But Israel, in 2009, had an operation called Operation Case-Led. Operation Cast-Led in 2009, where, I don't know, they killed 1,000 Palestinians, something like this, okay? And the chairman of the Muslim Council of Britain at that time attended a conference in Istanbul where he said it is incumbent on Muslims to, you know, retaliate against this. And he was calling for jihadi action against the State of Israel. And the British government at that time, the Royal Navy, were shipping aid to Israel, essentially, in 2009. And so the Labour government under Gordon Brown saw that those statements by the Muslim Council in Istanbul as a provocation to violence against the Royal Navy. And Hazel Bleers, who was one of the front benchers at the time, called for the chairman of the Muslim Council to resign. He didn't, and therefore Gordon Brown suspended all relations between the government of Britain, and the Labour Party, and the Muslim Council of Britain. That was in 2009. So any formal way in, any formal communication was cut off from 2009 onwards. That suspension by Gordon Brown has never been undone, okay, because of something that he said about the situation in Gaza back in 2009, okay? Now, this body, the Muslim Council of Britain, is the largest representative body of Muslims in the UK, okay? All of the mosques, all of the organisations, they still sit under this, and yet they have no formal link to the government or the Labour Party from 2009 till now. That has remained the case. Then the Labour Party, if you recall, came under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn. And Jeremy Corbyn, who's very pro-Palestine, who was an anti-war activist during the Blair years, no fan of Blairs, quite a big fan of Muslims, he started to ignore some of these long-standing rifts when he became the leader. And one of the things he did is he set up as one means of repairing the damaged relationship between the Labour Party and the Muslim community, something called the Labour Muslim Council. That's the LMC in 2017. Okay, so now there's the Conservative Muslim Forum, which is friendlier to the Tory party and the sort of stuff that the Tory party likes. And there is the Labour Muslim Council, which is friendly to the Labour Party. Pivotally, though, neither of them are the actual Muslim Council of Britain, which is a grassroots organisation and actually reflects what Muslims think, okay? These two are party arms, one for the Tory party, one for the Labour party, which are, you might say, ersatz organisations or state-backed or containment operations, so there is some outlet to reflect the Muslim voice in both parties, but pivotally not in a way that actual Muslims care about or want. Okay, and this is pretty crucial. So then what happened, if you recall, is that in 2018, Jeremy Corbyn came under severe attack for being an anti-Semite. One of the reasons is because he refused to adopt the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. He felt that that definition is too wide and conflates criticism of the State of Israel and criticism of Zionism in general with criticism of Jews as a race or the Jewish religion or something like that. He felt it was too broad. Yet, because he came under such severe attack, both internally and externally, and by the media and by the Tory party, etc., he capitulated and was forced basically to adopt the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. Okay. Now, there is also something called the APPG definition of Islamophobia. That is the all-party parliamentary group definition of Islamophobia. Okay. And this Muslim Council of Britain, the one that has suspended relations with the British government and the Labour Party since 2009, backs that definition of Islamophobia. And if you read it, it is quite a strange wording. It says something like, you know, a protection, like Islamophobia means an attack on somebody because they're a Muslim or because of their perceived Muslimness, whatever the hell that means. So I will say, as a legal document, it's fuzzy, it's broad. I don't really like the definition myself. However, Jeremy Corbyn, in retaliation for being forced to adopt the AHRA definition of anti-Semitism, also at that time, a couple of months later, adopted, because he knew it would piss everybody off, basically, this definition of Islamophobia that the Muslim Council of Britain favours. he also started doing things like attending mosques and palling about with leaders from the Muslim Council at that time, basically ignoring the boycott of the group or the suspension that Gordon Brown had put in place. Okay, so Corbyn, in his time, started palling about with the Muslim Council again, which no other party will do. The Tory Party don't engage with them. Labour Party normally doesn't engage with them. The government does not interface with them at all. Corbyn started to. Okay. Now, as you know, Corbyn was done in. Starmer came in and purged the party of Corbynistas and the militant tendency and Momentum and all of these left far left groups. He kicked them all out and reasserted control. And this definition of Islamophobia was still on the books. And people started to say, well, hold on a second, here's a problem. Because we've got this definition of Islamophobia on the books and it's too broad. It talks about Muslimness. And one of the problems is that it violates the Equality Act 2010. Other religious groups were saying, look, the problem with this definition of Islamophobia is that it seems to put Islam above the other religions, because it talks about this weird, like, Muslim-ness thing. And it seems to conflate race and religion, okay? So people were saying, rightly, you could say, that Labour needed to do something about this. And so Keir Starmer said, yeah, we're gonna change this definition of Islamophobia. It's too broad. He also cut off all contact, yet again, with the Muslim Council of Britain, cut them off. And as if to kind of underscore it, just this year they've set up this thing called the British Muslim Network, established by the Starmer government, or under the Starmer government, you could say, this year, as a way of the Muslim community to interface with the British government, which is interesting, because that is the exact reason that the Muslim Council of Britain existed in the first place. The trouble with the Muslim Council of Britain is that it had a habit of actually reflecting the views of Muslims in Britain, which, lo and behold, are the sort of thing that Muslims believe, okay? The British Muslim Network, however, is, as you might imagine, tame. It is government-friendly. It has the views of the status quo, etc., etc. And what Keir Starmer has done in his new definition of quote-unquote Islamophobia, ever the lawyer, is that he has nerfed the definition so that it strictly is limited to what you might find in the Equality Act 2010, i.e. Religion is a protected characteristic. Okay, so if you're a Christian, a Sikh, a Hindu, or Judaism, you know, if you're a Buddhist, this is a protected characteristic under the 2010 Equality Act. And Keir Starmer's new definition restricts Islamophobia as something that refers only to religion. Then he says, look, we kind of know what you're saying, right? Some people come under attack for being Muslims just because they look brown, basically. Okay, that's basically what he's getting at. He doesn't say that explicitly. But if you read Keir Starmer's new definition, it says, look, you know, sometimes a Sikh guy can be attacked on the basis of being Muslim. And obviously he's not a Muslim because he's a Sikh. And he's literally only being attacked on the basis that he, you know, Muslims are brown, and therefore he's being attacked on the basis that they thought he was a Muslim because they think... And what it's saying is that is just race as a protected characteristic under the Equality Act. It is not Islamophobia in this broader sense. It is, strictly speaking, just racism. Okay, so, I mean, right, okay, we can argue about whether any of these debates should be happening at all, okay? But that is what Keir Starmer has done, is he's basically said, like, there was too much vagueness there, we're gonna reduce it back to the 2010 Equality Act, okay? The IHRA definition of anti-Semitism is still upheld by both parties. Okay, so that one is accepted by Keir Starmer and by Kemi Badenoch and by both parties. They have no problem with that one. They do have a problem with the APPG definition of Islamophobia, and now neither party adopt that. Labour have dropped it. The Tories never accepted it. And the Muslim Council of Britain remain completely closed off out of doors. Okay? Now, to come back to the title of the video, is the Labour Party trying to enact Sharia law? Is the Labour Party trying to enact Islamic blasphemy laws? Well, the real answer is, if you look at all of this, if you study the history of that, okay, that is not the history of a party or a political class that are trying to enact Sharia law or Islamic blasphemy laws. This is a history of a political class struggling with the kind of practicalities of bringing in this large group that has, you know, views quite different from the rest of the population and struggling to contain it and struggling to manage it. But what's really noticeable to me is that the main Muslim organization in the country has no corridor into power. It is completely boycotted and has been because of the statement of its chairman in criticism of Israel back in 2009. Okay, now you can draw your own conclusions, but what I'm saying is this does not look like a political class hell-bent on bringing in blasphemy laws. Okay, it's overstated. It's slop at the end of the day. The reality is real politics is never that, okay? I mean, even the person I used to bash on this channel all the time, Sadiq Khan, who I still despise with every fibre of my being, okay? But not because he's trying to enact Sharia law in London. It's because he's a shitlib. It's because he is a woke, the worst source of woke, politically correct, LGBT flag-waving, you know, a managerial bureaucrat you can possibly imagine. He is a neoliberal scumbag. I was in London the other day. London is absolutely covered in posters for hate crime and, you know, we will not tolerate it here. And this is the open, like, gayest city of all time type thing. It's obviously not Sharia law. I mean, I have seen what Sharia law is like up close and personal. I know the consequences of it. I know what it looks like. So it's not, it's just not the case that, you know, it's just overstated and it's slop. And the trouble is, okay, is that clearly the narrative I've laid out demolishes the claim that Labour are trying to enact a blasphemy law right now. What's actually happening is Keir Starmer is changing the definition to make it narrower so that it's not a blasphemy. He's literally doing it over free speech concerns, because the definition adopted by Jeremy Corbyn, okay, was too broad. That's the reason that he's changed it. Another thing to note is that these aren't laws. These are internal party documents used to discipline MPs in the Tory Party and the Labour Party. They are not laws of the land. The law of the land is still that 2010 Equality Act that everything comes back to. Now, if it was up to me, I'd do away with that law, right? If it was up to me, I'd change a lot of things. But nothing's up to me. I'm just a bloke making videos, okay? I have no power. I can't change the law. I talk as things are, not as they ought to be, okay? And as things are, the law of the land has not changed in any single respect from that 2010 Equality Act. And these changes are actually being brought about because people were worried that that definition that Jeremy Corbyn had enacted put Muslims above other people in a kind of racial hierarchy, okay? And also that it was conflating Islam and race. But that has been rectified by Starmer now. So they've literally done the opposite of it. However, what I've just laid out is boring, isn't it? It's boring, it's factual. It's full of, like, oh, this committee and that committee, or boring. What's much more exciting is, oh, the country has fallen. We've come under Sharia law. There's going to be a civil war. All the flames, all the slop, all the nonsense. That is what is much more exciting for people. But the plain reality is all of this stuff here. And actually, organized Islam, has been kept out of doors in British politics. It literally has been shut out formally since 2009. Which is good news. Let's face it, it's good news. It means that, you know, they've got less far than the likes of Jeff Taylor and Tommy Robinson and all these other sorts of people would have you believe. Tell me how I'm wrong. Every single thing I told you here is the actual fact of the matter. And so when people say, why don't you talk about these sorts of things more often? It's because it's a bunch of slop. It's just nonsense. Lots of it funded by Israel. Lots of it literally just funded to flood the zone with crap. So you're talking about things that aren't even happening. Anyway, pick up a course and I'll see you next time.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.